Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Grumpy Cat's real name, by the way, is Tartar Sauce, based on a misspelling of the word by the owner's daughter. She thought the cat's fur looked the color of tartar sauce.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow and joining me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. How are you going, Tommy?
Pretty good, thank you.
Oh, that's great to hear. And joining us is our third co-host.
He's done it again.
Wow. The catchphrases this guy is capable of coming up with.
It's Adam Knox.
That's me.
How are you going today?
Yeah, I'm all right. Meow. Huh?
Yep.
What if that was the answer you got?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You'd be like, wait a minute, did this cat understand the question? Can this cat communicate with me?
Did you hurt yourself?
What a crazy world that'd be.
Meow.
Yeah.
Call me a cat, because meow. You say that after someone's like kicked you in the leg.
Yeah.
Call me a tabby, because meow.
What does that mean? I'm going to kick you again if you don't start making sense.
Don't kick me. I'm a widow cat. Meow.
Yeah, makes you wonder what you were doing to get kicked in the first place.
Oh, could have been one of many things. Multiple things.
Yeah.
Multiple things that would be competing with each other, like versing each other.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of games we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. But hey, quickly we should say, speaking of people I don't want to kick.
Yes.
All the people who tuned in to watch us. Play games on our Patreon.
And all the people who tuned in to play games with us on Patreon.
Yep, and the people who've tuned in post that to watch the recap
and
or archived stream.
The people who will tune in the future.
Yes.
I want to thank the people who won't even do any of those things, but...
Oh, okay.
A little bit less of a thanks.
Yeah.
The people who are still on the Patreon.
Thank you for listening to this anyway.
Yes.
Either
yes.
way.
People who aren't listening to this
and I
don't
thank
give
God.
Us money and won't watch the video. No thanks to them.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, the people who never
somewhere.
Hear this sentence. You're fucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a little patron only session.
Uh-huh.
We've done like public ones before, or we've done like live shows with online gaming stuff. But yeah, that was really fun. That was part of Giant July.
Yep.
Still a couple of things left for Giant July.
Still a carp left.
Yeah.
We're doing a new Bandcamp episode this Sunday that'll be up for a dollar or whatever you'd like to pay the week afterwards.
Yes.
About like the biggest flops and failures and stuff in games.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last week end of the month, I guess the last Sunday, the last day of the month.
Yeah.
We'll be doing a little Q&A thing live again
on
the Patreon. So go have a look at stuff over there. We do podcast every single week there. We put up the videos a week early. We put up those Bandcamp episodes for everybody on that $10 tier now.
Yep.
You also get the Discord and the Facebook, and it's a fun time over
it's
on
good,
the Patreon
good little
stuff.
Community of patrons. Everyone's really nice.
And as much as all of that stuff is important, the thing, it like genuinely just lets us do this podcast.
Yes.
We have done it for years more than we would have been able to, I reckon, if it weren't for all of you helping us. So thank you very much.
This is our job now.
Yeah.
And that's a good feeling.
Yes,
that's
it is.
That's a goddamn great feeling.
All capitalism is pressure, but within the bounds of the society in which we live, couldn't ask for more.
Yeah.
And Knox and I will be talking about a society that doesn't exist. We'll be resuming our Game of Thrones podcast, Are You Talking to Me, in a couple of weeks. We'll be doing an episode on, I think, the 15th/16th.
It's weird because
14th, 15th our time, I think.
I'll be in the UK, so we'll have to figure out exactly when I'll be able to watch it and figure out when we can record. But we'll be doing House of the Dragon. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I haven't really been. The new Game of Thrones thing, we'll be talking about those episodes.
Cool. Yeah, if you ever liked that podcast. So we're doing an episode the week before the season starts. So if you want to like send us questions or whatever, go over to those socials, Are You Talking to Me, in case you dropped off, because it has been a long time since Game of Thrones was on the air.
And Game of Thrones has changed people's views on that show. But I think this will be a fun one to go through and watch with the sort of fun analytical eye that is enjoyable to look at those shows with.
Is this a follow-up or is it a Better Call Saul style?
It is.
Very nice.
It is. Okay. God, it might...
But
It might be as good as the original series if it's like Better Call Saul.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Fucking hell.
So yeah, get in while the getting's hot on that show, season one. It's gonna be one of the best ones. If anything's.
We should say as part of the live stream games night the other night. So we played Riff Tracks. We played Quiplash. And we also played something that the three of us had never played before, a game that I thought, when people were texting us about it saying we should play it, I thought it was called Garlic Phone.
It would make more sense for it to be called Garlic Phone,
cool,
because Gartic Phone is the name of the game. This is like one of those, I think, sort of maybe pandemic era games that got big and we just had not seen.
Right, right.
It's a browser game where there's up to, I think, 16 of
14
you.
14 it was, 14 of you. It's a lot of people.
And you're...
14's a lot of people.
It's not a small amount, but I wouldn't say it's a lot of people.
Relative to the population of really any city, basically, it's pretty small.
I'll give you that.
Relative to the number of people in this room right now, that's heaps.
It's so many. It would be a huge population. Boom.
14 of us on this podcast would be unlistenable.
Yeah. Unsustainable a level of a population boom. Our resources would start to dwindle.
Even compared to...
We were out of microphones already.
Yeah.
Compared to the other games we played, 14 was a lot more.
That's true.
Because what you do, you're going through and you're each giving a secret little prompt that will then get passed on to the next person and they'll have to draw... that prompt.
Yes.
So say you write down a man with a broken knee. Second person tries to draw that down.
Yep.
Then the third person in the line gets just the image and has to write what they think the image is of.
Yeah.
And so on and so on and so 14 on.
14 times. And then you get
it's more than... Because it's all 14 people get the ability to write a prompt.
Well, you draw 7 times and guess 7, I suppose. I don't remember exactly how many it was.
I think it's 14 rounds total, and then the end of it is like the game will show you like... Da, 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 like everyone kind of watches like the...
How
you kind of get to see how it morphs from the original prompt into like a completely wacky drawing of Batman getting sucked off by Tweety Bird or whatever has ended up happening from...
I can't believe it stayed the same the whole way through.
Some of them did. The ones involving a famous character there was sex act.
Yes, a Pikachu one. I don't think initially had a sex act, but Pikachu was... constant throughout them until one person was like, it's a blonde monkey. And then then it moved away, but got back to Pikachu somehow because a blonde monkey looks enough like Pikachu, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But so there's no real winners. It's just like a party game that the point of it is to laugh with each other at the crazy interpretations you all had and the difficult, mouse-based drawing. Some people are very good at drawing with those things.
Yeah.
I have played this. Like, not Gartic Phone, but I have played this game IRL at a party with just a big sheet of...
telephone,
multiple,
right?
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. And it's weird. Part of me feels like it must have come along post lockdowns and everything, because it's hard to imagine not having heard about this in some way. Because I would have loved to have played this in lockdown.
A lot of people had heard of it and had played it during lockdown, though.
I'm hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah, you were
not
still
our patrons.
You were still on a house party in like November 2021.
Oh my God. Fuck. Embarrassing.
Telling everyone about Tiger King.
Yeah. Oh, dude, have you seen that? It's crazy, dude.
The dude's crazy. Weird.
I saw it during lockdown. Where the fuck have you been?
It's so crazy.
So, that was pretty fun. And thank you to everyone. And go have a look at the Patreon if you like.
Yep.
Because I tell you what, you might not have a lot in... If you're going over to our Patreon because you're looking for something to do, because what you normally do is read news about video games.
Yeah.
Well, then you've got a lean week this week, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time to go listen to all our old Bandcamp episodes.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting here and listening to me talk about the Wii U eShop.
Oh, yeah. And big warnings in some parts of the world. The Steam Deck and Switches are overheating, so God. Be careful.
I think it's fucking hot in some places.
I was going to say, the warnings should be for people who are... susceptible to dying of heat stroke, because it's like it's just flat out really hot in Europe.
That applies to everything you own. It's too hot.
Those warnings are getting out there. Valve isn't necessarily responsible for those.
I haven't seen them. I must be hating with the wrong people.
Seatbelt manufacturers need to do more. Nintendo being like, hey, if you leave your Switch in a hot car, it's going to damage it.
Yes.
It's like, why aren't Ford going, just be careful when you're getting in there touching that metal bit, or you're going to fuck yourself right up.
Again, I think they do say that.
No.
Really? I don't know. They have ads on the TV that's just like, hey, look, don't worry about buying the car. Mm. You know, we're... taking a break from trying to push it to you. We're just trying to let you know. For those of you that already do own the car, when you get in, be careful.
If you've got an ad blocker on, you don't see those.
That's true,
so
true.
It's probably that.
We probably will have to download ad blockers to our cars within our lifetimes.
Yeah. Mm.
Not have to. I mean, that's a choice you're making, and it'll probably be illegal in the form of a car. You know, you're not allowed to. You did like anyway. I don't even own a car.
What were you going to say? No.
You're not allowed to technically change the firmware of your car, even though you can. You can easily hack your car if it's got like a computer thing in it.
Okay.
Yep. But it's illegal to do.
Interesting.
Isn't it technically illegal to do on any like thing that you buy?
Most consumer goods, I think, in this country at least, you're allowed to fuck with them in a lot of ways.
Okay, it just like voids the warranty or something.
It'll often, yeah, it'll usually void the warranty or their warranty, but then your warranty. In Australia, we have pretty good laws around this stuff.
Right, you have a like you have an agreement with the place you purchased
You've
it
got
from.
A certain amount of consumer rights either way. So as long as you're not doing something crazy,
right,
like hacking your car so that you can have the it when you turn the keys, it like immediately starts playing Gangnam Style or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Whatever you might want to do.
Sure.
So if I see a video online of someone playing Doom on their Tesla, then I know
no,
the
I think
are coming for them.
I think Tesla specifically allows you to play games
and
on
then
it.
Got okay. in trouble for it right. because people were crashing their fucking Teslas.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you want to make like the voice of your GPS Yahoo Sirius or something, then you can hack the firmware. But I wouldn't want to void the warranty of my car. I'll tell you that much.
Hacking your firmware on a Wii U or a 3DS, for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Easy as hell to do.
Easy as pie.
You can. I've done it with my Wii U recently, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that is illegal to do.
You can't be arrested for it.
Yeah, I won't be, at the very least.
Isn't it the hacking of it isn't illegal to do, but then the playing pirated stuff on it?
Oh, but even playing pirated stuff isn't... I mean, it's technically
downloading
in one of those small
ways.
Uploading it is illegal.
Yes, that's the thing. The distribution is the thing that people get in problem with the law with. And even the development of the hacked things. Like that one guy, I think is spending 35 years in jail or something.
Oh, the GigaLeak man.
I don't remember if he was the GigaLeak man. I've never heard those words put in that order before.
The GigaLeak
in my
man,
life.
You know.
Oh, not. I'm not talking about GigaLeak. I'm talking about the Switch guy who was making hardware modifications Switches.
What was his name?
I think that was the guy whose name was Bowser as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jeffrey Bowser.
Yeah, Doug Bowser and whoever Bowser were, at, you know, going head to head.
Yes.
But one of the Bowsers was like inverted colors, so you could tell the two Bowsers apart.
Right. Nintendo's turning into like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, where it's just like all these different timelines, all these people that have the name Bowser.
Yeah.
Reverse Miyamoto's going to show up and be like, oh, I'm actually the evil one. My name's, however you say, Miyamoto backwards.
Yep.
But so they're shutting.
Otom.
Yeah.
Yim. Otomayim.
There you go. Now he's been banished back to his universe.
Nice.
So you can hack them easily, and you may need to soon if you want to play games on them.
Right.
Because they're shutting down the Wii U and the 3DS eShops in March of next year.
Because they said a while ago that this was happening soon, but that now they've specifically gone.
And they've done it with the Wii already, and with like the DSi, you haven't been able to buy stuff on there for a while now. And then for like 4 months on the Wii, you couldn't even download stuff you already owned, but they switched that back on recently.
Right.
And it does seem like it was some actual hardware issue on their servers or something. But
I get that it's not sustainable for them to leave that on forever, but it is fucking annoying having a 3DS and now having this panic of like, there's a bunch of games that I never quite got around to owning on it that I would like to play someday that I want to get. And then you look up the physical copies on eBay and they're already like sky high prices. Right. So really the only practical way to get it is to download it, and realizing that at a certain point, that'll be cut off. And that, so it's like, what do? Do I just go through and just get everything that I have any interest in ever playing? It's like,
rely on the, you do that and you rely on the only people who have done video game preservation, which is technically pirates.
It is going to get to that point where I'll just end up, that'll be the only sustainable option.
If movies were video games, the only way to currently watch The Godfather, just like one of the best movies of all time, would be to watch a fucking handycam footage version of it that was done in some dodgy cinema somewhere.
Buy it on VCD in a market.
The beginning of the movie would have like, thanks to Buffalo Fucker 40 for helping me deprogram whatever.
Or pay $800 for a legitimate Laserdisc copy.
So it's an absurd situation that is just due to a lack of care from most people and most companies involved in it. Like, people just don't really care because for whatever reason,
it's
video games,
their money and
they're viewed as something that become outdated.
Yeah.
A lot more than, you know, it's like, I don't really care about having, you know, iOS 4 anymore. I don't have access to that in any way.
See,
and
I'm
I don't
an
give
iOS purist. I want iOS 4 at all times.
I think iOS 4 should exist somewhere.
It runs so fast on the iPhone 12.
from the golden age of iOS. Yeah.
Back rounded, embossed windows and tabs and stuff.
YouTube used to literally have an icon that was an old CRT TV.
Yeah.
That's how old it is.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It's like the lack of care of most punters. You know, it's like it is a small percentage of people who are like, I do have to have access to the entire, you know, catalog of the Wii.
Mm. Yeah.
Most people don't.
And look, even the people like myself who go through the motions to have access to this thing and find the websites where you can get these games and, you know, go through all of that. Walking through a Caribbean market, you know, back in 1791 or whenever pirates were.
Yeah.
And getting slashed on your way through with malware. But like, even I'm not going to actually play Devil's Third.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not.
But
I might.
Would you buy a Nintendo Wii Mini?
Also probably not.
But
because I've already got a smashed up Wii.
More
that
people would,
into.
Right?
Yes,
people,
exactly.
The people who don't care about the preservation of Wii games would probably buy a Wii Mini for a Christmas present or for themselves.
Yeah.
Or if these things were just all, you know, available on some weird Nintendo version of Steam on a PC or something like that.
Yeah.
They'd sell them.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be so.
But with movies is the analogy, like, I'm not buying a VHS player. I couldn't care less.
Mm.
I would. Like, if I was as crazy about movies as I am about video games, I would absolutely have a Laserdisc collection.
I've been tempted. I've been tempted on a Laserdisc. It just seems like the most absurd thing to have.
Literally,
in the house.
The only reason I don't have a Laserdisc collection is because it's too expensive to buy a hacked PS1 with like an optical drive emulator in it. So I can't afford the Laserdisc collection.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing preventing me is the priority is low, but it's not zero.
A movie that you love, I love the idea of, because I got a lot of records, I love vinyl, I love the idea of just like a movie that you really love, just like sliding it out of that huge case and being like, here you go, love, it's Mallrats tonight.
Yeah. Well, guess what, boys? I do own a Laserdisc.
Do you really?
A Laserdisc?
Yeah. It's framed on the wall of my bedroom. It is like volume one of Bubblegum Crisis.
Okay.
The only like...
But you don't have a player.
Nah. I love the artwork.
There's a player in that room.
If you go home with a guy and there's not a Laserdisc framed above his bed of an anime.
From the 80s.
He's a 10, but he owns Bubblegum Crisis on Laserdisc.
No, it's the other one. He's a 4, but he...
So, yeah.
Which I bought for the artwork. It's a cool, like, basically square poster
is
of that thing.
Is the disc out?
No, it's still in it.
It's in there.
It's just in the square IKEA frame.
I would frame it in like a wide one with the disc there.
If it's like a gold record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
those
you made
discs
it,
look
it
so fucking cool.
Yeah.
they're enormous
like
CDs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just so funny that the thing of like chucking on a movie and then having to like get up and flip it over when
I
it's
know, that's
halfway
man, that's crazy.
Sick.
I cannot tell you the level of appeal in my brain owning like Hitch on UMD so I could play it on a PSP.
Oh, yeah,
like,
maybe.
Just those weird little fucking things that they've done.
I think of Laserdisc like vinyl, where it's like I can listen to all the music on Spotify.
Yeah.
But if I love something, I do want to buy a
you
version
want the
with
art.
A big art.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
weirdly,
yeah.
Those Laserdiscs are often the best quality of the non-restored prints as well. So, like, it is a version of the movie you often don't have access to anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like a 4K remastered Blu-ray thing can look worse.
Mm. Yeah.
I was watching a clip of The Wizard of Oz, weirdly, remastered in, like, a 4K thing.
Yeah.
It looked like fucking shit because you can tell that that's a painting.
Yeah. What about...
Whisk Me Away on a Laserdisc.
Was it the Game Boy Advance that you could get like Pokemon episodes and like Shrek or something.
I'll tell you how I remember that so vividly because I was fucking emulating one of them weeks ago.
Really?
Yes.
That would be a cool...
Because I wanted to see if it would play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I watched an episode of Pokemon.
That's good.
Which episode?
I don't even remember. I think the first episode.
Oh, sure.
That
would be sick if we did like a Filthy Casuals film festival and it's only stuff that came out...
On legacy media.
On like, but specifically on Game Boy Advance. So it's like, nice. We've got a Game Boy Advance plugged into a projector. So it's like the image is just blown the fuck out. It looks ghastly.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an episode. I was wrong. It's not. I watched an episode of SpongeBob.
Oh, nice.
Sorry. It was the one with the boots. He gets Pearl the boots for her birthday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a real smooth brain day for you, just watching SpongeBob on the Game Boy Advance. That's great.
I would have to push for, what was the Sony? Was it like PSP?
Or the UMDs.
The UMD, yeah.
I reckon we'd have to have both families of media.
Sure, sure, sure.
That'd be a good day.
Chuck them all and get an HD DVD player plugged into an Xbox 360.
Yep.
Watch fucking Peter Jackson's King Kong on there. I'd be like, what am I doing?
Yep, yep.
No, that'd be sick. We should do that.
So the Wii U and the 3DS will in the future be the Laserdiscs of consoles because the Wii U was so weird. It had all these games that are oddities now. Mm. Like the
I love that Nintendo Land game. And nearly all of it uses the gamepad. So it's never getting... It's never getting ported.
They're not going to be doing another double screen system probably again, unless the Switch 2 is weirdly double screened again or something like that. But it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
So all of those DS and 3DS games are
That specifically use the screen.
They're shuffling off into history now. Yeah. They're hard to recreate.
R.I.P.
So yeah, it sucks. We've had this conversation before about video game preservation, but I wish.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about Laserdiscs.
No, we didn't. No. I wish the companies themselves took it more seriously.
Mm.
Like the UK government is now also taking seriously, along with a bunch of other European governments, the stuff about loot boxes.
Yes.
Which is nice to see. They all they've done now, they're not legislating stuff, but they've told, like...
they're warning people.
They're telling the industry, the video game industry. Well, this is what happened in,
they're
like,
too
the
hot
90s.
At the moment. They're going to deal with it in a couple of months.
Yeah.
They're getting fucking angry because it's so hot.
I can't get up from my chair for a moment.
Look, my Steam Deck's fucking broken. And it's because I tried to buy too many FIFA cards.
Steam Deck? That's what I call my veranda at the moment. It's bloody steaming out
there.
I
wish I had a veranda. It's too hot. I've got a fucking greenhouse. But the...
loot boxes does seem...
In the 90s, sorry, I was just going to say that in the 90s, the US did the same thing to like the video game industry saying, hey, if you don't self-regulate with ratings, then we'll come in and enforce our way of doing it. And that's what made the ESRB in the US, which is like the rated T for teen and
all that.
So I would love to see a little bit of any kind of regulation happening.
It almost seems like it'll be, at some point in the future, it'll be like smoking on airplanes where it's now it's like, wow, can you believe...
How cool it was that he did that in secret in the toilet.
Yeah. People were just allowed to do that? That's crazy. And like, you know, it seems like it'll be a thing where 30, 50 years in the future, it's like, video games just used to
have gambling
stuff
for kids.
That was just like straight up gambling.
Yeah. It's the same as NFTs and a lot of the way cryptocurrencies are viewed and stuff now. It's like this weird, we're in the midst of, before people were talking about like, oh yeah, the MLM Facebook mum. Sorry, M&M.
The M&M Facebook mum.
Yeah. I've created a monster and nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady. I'm Chop Liver.
And
like
that's
and heart if you agree. So the before you had like the well-known thing of the multi-level marketing scheme, Facebook mom, those things existed for years and years and they were called pyramid schemes and they were called whatever and they were
Avon, all of those things.
And there was a period of time where they were a lot more or a lot less looked down upon because the scam hadn't been exposed as a scam in the general population yet. And that's where we are with loot boxes and NFT shit and all of that stuff. Yep. It's all scams.
The problem, though,
is being run.
The way that gambling is viewed in society, especially here in Australia, is also problematic. Like, that we have, you know, government-enforced messaging around, like, you know, gamble socially, quit, you know, before you're... whatever it is.
Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly, but so many industries in Australia are propped up by gambling advertising.
If you, it's outlawed.
Including stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's outlawed in a lot of ways in Victoria specifically, but if you go to most pubs in Sydney, there's pokies everywhere.
Right.
And video games are the same.
Yep.
Where, but it's targeted at children, it's targeted at people who... the setup of it is deliberately targeting people who get too deep into it.
Right. It's built, susceptible to it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's built not to have 1,000 people spend $1. It's built to have one person spend $100,000.
Right. Yeah. Right.
On it. That's the written down stated purpose of the way that these things work is that they are looking for those whales. So you are literally looking for like a stooge, a foil to give you too much money. So yeah, they need to fucking regulate it, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon stop doing it entirely. If if I was in the government or running for
here
government.
Here we go.
Oh no.
Here are the people I would specifically ban from. No, I would absolutely include as part of my platform like gambling regulation or banning gambling advertising. You know, it's like smoking. It's like, okay, you can make a bad decision if you want to.
It does seem like a pretty crazy thing that's still allowed to be advertised.
Yeah, in like prime time TV.
Yeah, given the horrible effect it has on people.
It'd be great to see the day when people are like, this guy wants us not to waste money, but look at this bubblegum crisis laser disc he's got.
That's, being dragged through the mud by the opposition. Yeah, totally.
I bought that when I was much younger. I have not watched it. I never inhaled it into the machine. It's been behind a glass at all times. But I kind of tend to agree. Like, it's hard to tell people what to do because at any point, even if it at some point it's like, well, I guess it's just a thing I don't agree with, but like,
you can ban the advertising for it though.
Yeah. And the way it's done specifically in video games is designed to be predatory.
Yes.
We're all okay with DLC, you know, a little extra $20 for some costumes, some maps, things of that nature, but which it's not a million miles removed from just that. It's just offering people the chance to pay money to have a bit more in the game.
Right.
But it's just the way that it's presented and actually implemented is just so lecherous.
If we told you to go to Patreon and then what we were going to put up there was a fucking roll of the dice and might be nothing.
Right.
Right.
And all of it had no value, that would be wrong. But it does have specific value.
Quite high value.
And it's the same stuff and we make sure that you are getting something.
Yes.
So, I mean, hey, any piece of art that you engage with is a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
It's like, I might hate this.
And at some point, that can be part of it where like, I used to
except our content.
Yeah, no. Obviously.
We are the one exception.
Obviously, present company excluded.
Yes. When I used to like Pokemon cards when I was a kid, they're kind of random and they're the same
the blister
sort
packs.
Of thing.
That's what it is, right? That's what it's modeled off. Often they are cards. Like the EA games often frame them as like card packs.
That would be the justification for anyone who's like it's just a digital implementation of that.
Yeah.
But that's, you can get those and you could then swap them with a friend at school
totally.
A shop might buy them back off you. And whereas a digital thing, it's like you've paid for this and then that's it. You're locked into that.
It's
now
hard to quantify, which is why it would be better if it didn't get to the point where it was government regulated. It would be better if it was regulated within these things because making the definition between Pokemon cards seem fine, but this doesn't is hard to do in like legal terms. So it's going to have collateral impact, which is again the same thinking behind, well, we'll set up the ESRB because we know what we're fucking doing versus the government coming in and stomping down something that might not work properly.
And you can say that like consumers are, you know, quote unquote regulating by like not buying games or being loud on social media about ones that, you know, are overly you know, gratuitous with their loot boxing, like, you know, all the EA stuff that happened a few years ago.
Yep.
But also, yeah, it should be regulated.
Most people are capable of doing that, but some people are children and some people are being preyed upon by these things and it works.
I have probably less faith in the industry regulating it because
I also think too, not just
because
kids,
I just do.
But like if you were someone who had had a very intense gambling addiction, let's say, and it had been very like detrimental to your family and it impacted all these people around you and you'd worked really hard to get beyond that. And you know, you know that you have to just like stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
And so maybe video games is a hobby, right?
Yeah.
And then this stuff starts to sneak into that, you know, and it's like scratching that little itch and you know, it's like not just the implication of like kids getting into it, but like, someone who's worked really hard to get away from this, now it's like infiltrating their life in another way.
Those
are
the people
horrible.
Who end up being the whales that they're specifically looking for.
Yeah,
totally.
It's like it's gross to make someone pay you money because they are having like a specific whatever dopamine reaction to it rather than for a product.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that like that's the same to me as selling illegal drugs. So
yeah, I agree.
We need to regulate it and then stop regulating illegal drugs.
Well, yeah, who knows?
That's the way legal, around.
Legalize it.
Yeah.
Legalize microtransactions.
In a few months, you might be able to gamble on the opportunity to unlock, I don't know, Pepe Le Pew and Speedy Gonzalez and other dodgy characters from the Warner Brothers canon.
I can already give them money before the game is even out to give me different costumes for them.
That's
and stuff.
Fucked. Yeah.
In Multiverses, which we played a little bit of before.
Yeah.
Open beta on now. And
it's actually a closed beta.
It is closed because you can go in and watch someone streaming it on Twitch for an hour.
Do they suggest the people?
So when you go to their website telling you how to get it, it'll just the thing you go on to click over to Twitch will show you the top people who are streaming it at the time in Twitch's thing. So,
you have to sign in, watch it for an hour, watch someone play it for an hour, and then you get a code to get into the closed beta.
Yes. So
you subjected yourself to this morning. You put yourself on the line for us.
I had it open in a different tab or whatever. I went and had a shower. It was fine.
They don't specify you have to be there while you're streaming.
They don't give a shit. They're looking for your email. That's the thing you actually have to connect and do. But and they want people streaming it so that it rises up the streaming charts in Twitch. It's clever.
Yep.
It feels mucky, but it's clever.
It's smart. If it was a better game, I think it would have more chance of working.
So we played only a little bit of it. I played some tutorial and a couple of matches on my own to see if it was working. And then you guys played maybe 20 minutes of it or something. So we've only scratched a little bit of the surface. But it doesn't seem from that little scratch that there's an enormous amount of surface to barrel through before we get to the core.
Yep.
It's a character action Smash Brothers style fighting game. Not character action, character fight, mascot fighting. They've got some term for it now.
Platform fighter?
It's Smash Brothers.
Yeah, platform fighter maybe is it. Mascot fighter makes it even more corporate and depressing.
I think that's what they specifically call it. I believe it might be called a mascot fighter. Here's the fucking Hamburglar.
An actual mascot fighter would be awesome.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Getting like, who'd be in there? Ronald, Dougie, the Pizza Hut delivery guy.
Little Mortine fly.
The gobble doc from Smith's Chips back in the day.
That fucking little blue cunt who lifts the toenail up to get inside there guy.
Have you seen
disgusting ads? Get Jan in.
Oh yeah.
Not happy yellow pages.
The Go-Go Mobile guy.
Yeah.
These are mascots. These are ads.
The Lubemobile kid.
Yeah.
13, 30, 32. That's the code to unlock him.
Have you seen Gritty? The mascot Gritty?
No, who's Gritty?
I'll look it up and show you.
Oh, the Philadelphia thing? Yeah. I have seen him.
That's a sick one.
Yeah, he would be good. Yeah. He'd be good in there.
Yep. But at this actual point, mascot.
You've got essentially that. You've got Batman, Superman, all the Warner Brothers stuff. They also own HBO, so you've got like Arya Stark. You've got Adventure Time.
So Cartoon Network is under that umbrella.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. How cool is that?
That's Gritty. I've seen that guy. Yeah he's the sick. Big orange Gritty. Beard.
We talked about this when it got announced, that the prospect that like specifically things like HBO are under this umbrella is very exciting and probably, you know, nothing that they won't stretch out this far, but it is exciting to imagine a world where Larry David ends up in this game.
Kind of. But now having played some of it, it won't seem like Larry David because they're flattening all of that by making them all try to fit into this bland multiverses style that they have. So all of those characters lose their personality in the transition.
They've got great animations and move sets that are very specific to the character that have clearly been done with a lot of, like, you know, love for the source material. But Ben and I played three games. We each played three different characters. And to me, they all just, every character I played as just felt the same.
100%.
And they look the same to me as well. Like, the ideas of what their moves are conceptually are good.
That is what I liked, in terms of incorporating references to their properties.
Yeah.
That was generally pretty smart and interesting. Yeah. But the actual implementation as a fighting game of them was very samey.
And like even visually just didn't pop with like, you know, Tasmanian Devil's doing a spin. You pointed this out. It doesn't really look like the spin from the thing. It looks like this off-brand warped version of it that just loses its personality.
And like in Smash, playing between like Mario or Blylith or King K. Rool, they all feel completely different. Like the second you pick up the controller, you can feel the weight or the lack of weight or just their, you know, how they can, yeah, everything about their movement, you go, oh, I want to play through this whole roster because everyone feels and controls so differently and it's a different game depending on who I play as.
Hmm.
Whereas this was like, it just, yeah, it, other than aesthetically, it made no difference.
Well, I also think aesthetically it made not enough difference.
Sure,
where
yeah.
In Smash Brothers, you've got like Joker coming in from Persona or whatever.
Joker was who I was going to mention is like, it feels, it's reminiscent of the play style of Persona 5.
Right.
And they're deliberately making the visuals different from Smash Brothers where yes. it looks like the model from Joker has been put into the game, and then the menus and the or like, you know, his effects
yep.
look
yeah.
like Persona.
Has that red yeah. and black and white. Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
This looks like Multiverses dressing up as Superman
sure.
yeah. rather yeah. than Superman coming to Multiverses.
I think the Arya Stark is the one that suffers
the
most. The
name is shit.
It's so
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
It's the, yeah, the Arya Stark, I think, suffers the most being a, like the only thing in there that's specifically a real
a
world,
action,
like a live
yeah.
action thing, and
or
having it be the sort of cartoony.
Like first was because I guess
yeah.
you know
it,
I
Superman
think
and Batman
of Superman as having
stuff
a face, but
to, yeah,
I mean
comics obviously
they all it's like Fortnite, you know, it's like, well yeah, you put in fucking. Actually, Fortnite did it better.
Fortnite does better yeah. with this as
yes.
well, yeah.
Thinking of specifically ones that we've used, yeah. yeah.
They do bring it to a Fortnite style as well, but it is, they are careful to make it look like the thing because the
yeah.
reason you're going to pay money for this thing is because it looks like the thing that you like.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah,
like
yeah.
that it looks like fucking Fortnite.
Well, yeah,
it looks, yeah.
Yeah, they've also got, so we played, or I played as this character for one round. I was reading about this morning. So the game, or like there'd been some video or some access to the initial roster that's in this closed beta. And there's one character in there where people are like, oh, what? I don't remember this from growing up, from any Warner Brothers show. Where is Rain Dog from?
R-E-I-N-D-O-G.
Yeah.
Yes. And it turns out it's a character that it's just an original character.
It's a big dog.
That they've chucked in there.
And he's got the horns of a reindeer.
Yeah.
Antlers, I beg your pardon, of a reindeer.
He's kind
of
cute, but it's like, it's such a weird thing to just randomly have a new character in there that's like this.
I think it really shows the level of creativity this game is working at too, where
right.
the, you know, they bring Superman in and all of that. When they have to come up with something, they're like, and
yeah.
look over and there's a reindeer outside and they go, I can't think of anything.
And then someone else goes, what about Rain Dog?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like they look at the reindeer and go out and ignore it.
What?
And the reindeer doesn't factor in. That's
the
joke
the
I was going to try
yeah,
and
yeah,
work
yeah.
towards.
It's the sort of format of the joke. But like, it's Warner Brothers.
They look over and Everybody Loves Raymond is playing on
right.
the TV.
And he.
And then they look over and Nate Dogg is singing on the radio.
Yes. Yep.
And
then a reindeer crossed with a dog walks past the window.
Uh-huh.
And they just draw the easiest thing they're capable of.
Sure. Not much. What's Rain Dog with you?
Rain Wilson is on The Office on a TV.
Yeah.
And then Dog the Bounty Hunter is also on another TV.
Sure.
And then they get a call and they're like, make it rain, Dog.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what does that mean?
You know, like, you know, with money, make it rain, Dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something different happens than the process you would initially think.
Yeah.
Or they, okay, here's what it is.
I've also got one too when
okay.
you're done.
They look out of the window and there's a reindeer.
Yep.
And they look out the other window and there's a dog.
Yep.
Then they look back out the window with the reindeer and the reindeer goes, what about Rain Dog?
Okay.
Okay.
And he goes, what?
They're watching Adam Sandler's dramatic turn in Rain Over Me.
Okay.
Yes.
And then they drop the remote and it flicks over to another channel and the Foot Rot Flats movie is on.
Okay.
And they're looking at the dog in that. And the dog in that is just called Dog.
Sure. You've used things I'm not familiar at all with.
I know. That's the beauty of it.
It's so specific.
When I said I've got one after you, I knew that there was absolutely no chance.
Anyway, it looks fine, but it's just like, yeah,
I was going to say, why do they have to do Rain Dog? You've got 1,000 Warner Brothers characters at your disposal.
Who gives a... no one is getting this for the original character.
Yeah.
But
I guess
put fucking Daffy Duck in.
Sakurai's not going, one I cooked up.
Yes, he
is. Well, he is,
Because that's
yeah.
the thing. This is their equivalent of Master Hand.
Yeah.
Being right. Mr. Hands is a very different character. Blue Waffle is coming to multiverses.
Yeah.
But anyway. It's kind of soulless, but it's good enough and it's free.
It's mechanically sufficient. It's worse than Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, which we played about a month ago.
Right.
And it was a PS Plus game, so you could argue is in a way available for no purchase price.
Yeah. I reckon it's a little better.
You're crazy.
I thought it felt a little better.
You're both crazy. I'm the sane one.
I feel like just the general presentation and voice stuff of it feels a little more kind of like the fact that voice stuff got added as a bit of an afterthought to the Nickelodeon one is like a big market game, even though it's there now. This
yeah,
one
you
just
didn't
feels
play it
a little
without
more.
The voice.
This just, for whatever reason, something about this just feels a little more rounded.
I
to me.
Thought the gameplay of this, of Multiverses, was not anywhere near as good as the Nickelodeon one.
Right.
I feel like there was a bit more weight. There was a bit more. Yeah, fine-tuning to the different special abilities and all that stuff.
I think they're pretty on par, but I kind of liked how this one felt a little bit more. But maybe that's just because I did the tutorial of this one and played through it more, so kind of had a bit more understanding of it. But also, it barely matters because
I
don't
Smash
know
Brothers.
Why you would ever... Yeah. Other than the fact that it is free.
Yeah, totally.
So that is the one...
You know what I hate the feeling of?
What?
A big old bristly patch of hair... Around
where it don't
my,
belong.
Around my dick and balls.
Yeah,
Can't stand it.
Yeah,
Any suggestions, any solutions?
Nope, you're fucked.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Goodbye, cruel world.
I'm just getting a message through on the Morse code.
Yep.
Turns out there's a company called Manscaped, and they provide grooming products for men. And
oh, damn.
Maybe ladies too. I don't know.
You could definitely use them as a lady. It's one of the best. I've got mine charging next to the sink right now.
Hell yeah.
My lawnmower 4.0, which you can get from them as part of their like performance package thing, which has a bunch of different bits and pieces. Is like, it's a good gift kind of.
It's a great gift.
Sampler guy. And
Ear, nose trimmer.
Ear, nose and throat trimmer.
I was about to say hair.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
Just that's going to take you a long time.
I mean, it's ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yeah, so, yeah, true.
Because they've sent us the 3.0 and the 4.0 over time. The 4.0 is better, but I use both. One, I use just for my beard.
Right.
Okay. To just neaten it up every now and again.
I thought you were going to say you did half and half. You did like Pepsi Challenge style.
Yeah, this tastes like the pubes from the Lawnmower 3.0, just licking the little top of the razor.
Yeah, okay. This is diet pubes, definitely.
But it works great for any hair. I mean, see, it doesn't have to specifically be that, but it just is quite... it's not... It doesn't feel dangerous to put near your balls because it is a well-made, delicately shaving thing.
I use mine for my beard as well. Yeah. My beard being the woman I'm married to disguise the fact that I'm not heterosexual.
Sleeps weeping underneath your bubblegum crisis laser disc.
Yeah,
like,
completely
I didn't
hairless.
Expect it to to happen like this.
Why have me if you're going to buy stuff like this? Yeah. The jig is up.
Yeah. Well, no one else is walking in here, are they?
But yeah, it is so... Their products are all so well made. They're really reliable. They're high quality. Like, yeah, we've had ours for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, even the three which we got and is no longer in production still works perfectly.
We've talked about them a bunch. We all endorse them, and it is manscaped.com. And if you use the code FILTHY, you get 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah.
What are you going to fight with me about on that? Nothing.
Nothing.
Ooh. It's a good deal.
I'd fight with you if you said it was a bad deal. But you didn't, so I have no objections.
It's a good deal. You know who else is offering a good deal?
I can take a guess.
Have another guess.
Is it...
beep, 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 beep.
Domino's?
Yeah. I'm looking around and I can't read anything without my glasses.
You know what you need?
What?
Because this thing isn't even visible. It's in the air.
Okay.
You need to be looking at a computer to use NordVPN or a phone.
Yep.
Some sort of device. You can
Thank
put it on
you.
Your router even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
NordVPN are also once again sponsoring this show.
Yeah.
They, again, are products that I use that, or I guess product, I use their VPN service, which it stands for Virtual Private Network, and it lets you pretend to be somewhere else. Like your computer isn't your computer. You can mask your identity for security on the internet, and you can also travel through space in the blink of an eye.
You're about
pretend
to go,
I'm in the UK.
You're about to go to Edinburgh. Are you going to use your VPN over there to trick us? And it says right here, Adam's been in Australia.
I tell you
what the hell's going on?
I don't know where to watch Better Call Saul over there, and I'll be logging into my Stan account back here using NordVPN.
Fuck, very
so
nice.
I'm not just hot air.
Yeah.
I walk the walk.
Hey, that's
back
the kind
to
of
Australia because I forget my NordVPN login.
That's the kind of scam that the great man himself would pull off.
I'm dressing up in my big colourful suit. I'm putting on my wacky tie. I'm folding my hair over the top of my
head.
It's
called a VPN.
So
I also use it with my beard.
She uses it so you can't look up that she's been looking for flights out of here.
Yeah, nice.
NordVPN.
Thanks for figuring that out for me, by the way. I did not have an answer. If anyone was going to
someone else's
me on that,
problem.
Yeah. What about this?
You know what you did then? You masked your identity, and then it looked like someone else came up with the thought.
Yes.
Yep.
But it wasn't the case. NordVPN, I guess, .com.
Yep.
Certainly is.
You can go there, and if you use the code FILTHY over that place.
Yep.
You also get some benefits.
You get a huge discount.
Big discount.
You get a free month. You get some other stuff. You can go straight to NordVPN.
You get a little gift, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's a thank
you. It probably changes over time.
We've never worked this out. We've been spruiking this free gift for how long? Like nearly a year, probably, right?
I would imagine it depends on their supply of certain little codes they're getting all the way.
Yeah, so you probably
get something different from time to time. But
you can go directly to nordvpn.com/filthy.
Yeah.
And that will give you like the deal that is, you know, associated with us.
Get a good deal. You know what's a pretty good deal?
What?
As well, Game Pass. And a game that was available on Game Pass, but the expansion to it is not, is Forza Horizon 5.
Yep.
Which I forgot.
I did this. I just bought the game outright when it came out because I was like, I know I'm going to want this stuff anyway. And I think you could play it a day or two early or something like that.
Yeah. So I don't own the game, but I do own the premium pass, whatever. Yeah. And that was the thing that lets you play it. So this, the DLC is included in that. This is the first of two big expansions for Forza Horizon 5. It is the
So the first of two big expansions is Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like they did with the last one too. It's like a there'll be a novelty, stupid one, and then there's another one that's just like a second location, right?
Okay. I think they did it the other way around for 4, but I think there was a Hot Wheels expansion for 3 as well.
Yeah.
And there was Lego for 4.
Yeah.
And I have to say, so yeah, I played a little bit of this and I am enjoying it, even though, heading into it, I was a bit like, it's a bit of a shame that it's like just Hot Wheels. I mean, there's already Hot Wheels games. Seems like a little bit of a missed opportunity to me.
Sure.
To maybe have something a bit more like out of the box.
Yeah.
Like the Lego GAC one was a GAC expansion.
Right.
Dr. Horrible or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense in that they're all about cars, and it makes sense when you start playing it riding on those big fucking orange tracks up in the sky. So what you get is a new area of all Hot Wheels tracks built onto these like three different kind of biomes. Mm. You've got like a foresty bit, a kind of deserty bit, and an icy snowy bit.
Okay.
And
interesting choices.
It is a ton of Hot Wheels tracks up in the sky. It's so much fun.
It's really cool. Like when you do like a, you drive to a location and then it, and I love how they kind of like, they try and like really organically build it into the game. Like we talked when we reviewed the game about the way that people are just kind of constantly talking. Brits are constantly talking to you over the radio.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've got to check out these mad big Hot Wheels tracks that we've built all over Mexico. It's like, all right, we're just, you're not going to rely on suspension of, it's just like straight up you want us to believe that they've just constructed these.
That when you get up there, like whatever radio you're listening to, the host will be like, so there's Hot Wheels tracks in the sky, huh? All right. Like it does, it gives you a little bit of,
it's
we know
cool,
this is
I love
dumb.
It.
But yeah, all those people are back fucking being so annoying.
Yeah. But you,
and
the
saying
first,
the same
like,
stuff.
Qualify thing you do, you get up to like 300 fucking miles per hour or whatever. You're going so fast.
That's really fast.
It's so fast.
It's
do you get a bit
around.
Scared?
I did get a bit scared.
Yeah, I thought you might have.
It weirdly by default turns on like a couple of accessibility motion sickness things.
Okay.
Where like you've got a little barrel roll indicator thing and stuff like that that I turned off pretty quick.
I hated that was on.
Yeah, it feels good and normal and fine and it translates well to have this big car and a big Hot Wheels thing and makes you feel like you're driving a Hot Wheels real fast.
Mm. It's cool.
It's great.
It really lines up
so well with how that game plays.
Yeah. And it does like, I feel like it does a much better job. Like this was not really a criticism, but a thing that a lot of people felt, myself included, about Mario Kart 8 having the anti-gravity and the loop-the-loops and stuff, is that the way the camera is and everything, you never really get much of a sense of like where you are in the physical space when you're going, you know, when you're like, you watch the replay and you're like, oh, I was driving on the roof at that point. But it sort of makes
you're rarely looking at the horizon with Mario Kart. There's a lot of and I agree.
But in
it's
this, you always know you're like, oh, I'm in a loop-the-loop. I'm like to the, even without the barrel roll thing on, I feel like it just has much more of a, Yeah, a sense of context.
And
of
you can
place.
Still feel the weight of your car that is going that fast. And you can, like, all of it completely works.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. It is more Forza. So once you kind of get beyond the novelty part of it, of being like, oh, now there's loop the loops and we're in the sky and it looks fucking amazing. Mm. It is more of the exact same types of things that you're doing. You are still doing races and stunts and drifts and all of that stuff. So there was already so much in Horizon 5, and it had come out recently enough after 4 that I had a little bit of, excuse the pun, burnout.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you understand? Because I looked out the window and I saw a burning reindeer and I was looking out the window.
Right.
So that's why I said that.
Right. And you were watching the movie Mississippi Burning. And
yesterday.
You saw an exit sign.
Out. Sure. Well.
What if all exit signs just said out?
They should. They should. Arrow, yeah. When I'm in government.
Yeah.
That's my second.
So there's a lot more in here, but it's a lot more of the same stuff. So it might not be that. I don't know if I'm going to keep sticking with it, because I think I'd played enough Horizon that I had worn myself out a little bit on Horizon for a while. But what is in there is very cool. It is not breaking new ground, I don't think. Like, the loops are cool, but they've had this sort of stuff in previous games.
Yeah.
And like you say, there's a ton of Hot Wheels. What was it called? Hot Wheels something.
Hot Wheels Unleashed, I think.
Unleashed, that's
the one. Which
also
just has an expansion that's been added to it, weirdly enough. Right. It's Looney Tunes themed, I kind of want to go in on, because you're driving around little Wile E. Coyote territory. Looks cool.
This is a very well done add-on to a very good game.
Yeah, it's great for being so kind of over the top. It's great how, like, natural it still feels in the Forza kind of world. It doesn't feel like you're playing a completely different game. It's cool novelty and everything. It's mostly got me excited to see what they do for the second expansion, which will be the more kind of naturalistic. Because the one for 4, which 4 was set in Scotland, was like this crazy... What was it called? Fortune Island or something like
that's
that?
That's the one.
It so a bit more...
Like a pirate island.
Interested to see more now what they do for that than so much playing through this. But
yeah, there's a lot of Forza out there that you can play. Forza Horizon specifically that you can play. So
how much is this pass?
The pass itself, I don't know. I think the expansion on its own is something like $30.
Oh, wow.
And the pass is something like $70.
Fucking hell.
And you get like some extra cars and stuff if you get that full pass. That's the other thing. There is a bunch of new cars in here, and they're all Hot Wheels cars, but made at a big size.
Yeah.
Which is...
they're not small?
They ain't small. Okay. You're big.
And
you're driving these big cars up in the sky. And fuck, it looks cool being in the sky, because when you go through a loop, you can see like mostly clouds, but little bits of Mexico down beneath you, and it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's neat. You're basically... Yeah, it's a whole new map. So it's $30 bucks, but it is... Yeah, it's not just like... little stuff tacked on.
Right.
It takes you to a whole new area that's got... So if you've thrashed 5, it's got all
it's
this new stuff in it.
It's probably about half the size of that area again, something like that.
Yeah.
So you get... It's good. It's just... It is more of that.
Yeah.
You know, so... You're not getting almost like a different... It feeling different and being Hot Wheels specific and not feeling like Forza. It might be more interesting in one way than this ends up being. But this is cool.
I think... I don't know. I'm someone who only played Forza because it was free on Game Pass. So,
Judging by the notifications popping up of achievements and what percentage of people are getting them, you're one of 99.5% of people who played that game who are going in on this, because every achievement I was getting, it's like, congratulations. You have gotten a rare achievement that only 0.5% of players got, and it is Drive 2 Races.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
I don't think there's a lot of people on day one, at least.
And also, like you guys have been saying, there's so much already in the base game that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it does sound cool that it is good.
Yeah.
It is definitely good. You will know whether or not you want to play more of that game.
Yeah. Speaking of something that's good.
Okay.
It's also out this week.
What you looked out the window and saw a reindeer that was a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's what made that happen.
No, I like the reindeer a little bit more.
Yeah, wow. More than a 7?
I like it more than a... Yeah, I
maybe
reckon
an 8?
Probably a... Oh,
you saw a little... You saw a little reindeer climbing up a building and hopping onto a
cute little reindeer
air conditioning
with a backpack.
Unit. Yeah.
Stray is what we're talking
Stray
about.
Stray is out. You can get it as part of your PlayStation
Extra.
Extra.
Yep.
So there's Plus and it's the one above that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And then there's another one above that, right? That's
yes.
all the legacy stuff.
Yes.
As well.
It's whatever. Yeah. Essential and Extra, I think, are the names of them.
Here at least. And then, you know. But it is free for some people
deluxe.
Who are playing some subscription fee.
Or it's like $40.
It was $40 for me because I don't have that above one.
Yeah.
And it's on PS4, 5 and on the PC.
Yeah.
Well.
Yes.
It's a cyberpunk themed exploration platform puzzle game where you play as a little stray cat.
Yeah.
Kind of traversing around this very, to begin with, abandoned Blade Runner-esque kind of world. Do we want to dive in first on some thoughts from the patrons?
Yeah. But this game, I think, has more broadly been received pretty well.
Yep.
It's been getting mixed from what I've seen, where it's like some people are in on it and some people are kind of middle of the road.
Okay.
It's not getting hugely negative receptions as far as I've seen, but there is kind of an equal amount of, I'm really enjoying this game. It is a fun single player kind of platformery, adventure-y kind of game. And then a lot of, That's the general tone.
I've just opened my browser. Gritty is the official mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers. He is a 7 foot tall furry orange creature. No.
Gritty's a furry?
Yeah. We chucked this out to the patrons earlier today. And I would say this is 90% positive from our little community.
Yep.
There's something, Tim Huff says, the atmosphere is incredible. Love getting lost in the world. It's the perfect level of chill puzzle solving and exploration. Never thought that a game would ever make me squeal with delight over getting my head stuck in a paper bag, but here we are. That is basically the tone of all the positive reviews. It is great atmosphere, cool world, I love being a cat.
Yep.
Cats are cute.
Yeah, I think because... Well, let's do more of these and then we'll talk about
it. Ryan says, I think it is a perfectly fine little platformer. Beat it in the one sitting yesterday and had fun. It does seem like all the rave comes from, haha, you are little floof internet humor, though similar to Goose Game. A good game that has been blown out of proportion because of random internet humor.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I read that one and I don't... So I finished the game and enjoyed it and don't think it's trying for humor... At all.
Me neither.
I don't either. I don't.
I understand what Ryan's saying about like the cats being like a meme, but also I think this is more like genuinely like, oh, I quite like cats and this is a good cat.
I think that Ryan is dead on about the reaction to the game.
I've
seen a lot of articles just being like, oh, the game's got a dedicated meow button. This is it. So I get where he's coming from in that sense.
That's one of our comments as well.
Yeah, but I hate cats and I love this game.
Right. I think that Tolkien Taters pretty much reflects some of my feelings. They say, I like the initial pitch of the game, but honestly, when I got the little robot on my back, I lost a lot of interest. I was expecting a more exploration-based game where you're finding the story out through the environment, just as a cat, without direct prompts and a character talking to you for a lot of it.
Right.
I also had that response when the robot popped up of like, oh, so this could be a character, a sentient character.
Yes.
Yep.
You know.
And it basically is. The fact that you're playing as a cat is very little... to do with it other than the animations because you are playing as the smartest cat who's ever lived.
Well, do you want to just do one more? Because I think this kind of echoes how I feel.
Absolutely.
Alex says, it's like the pure traversal elements from Uncharted plus even simpler puzzles, but the novelty of it and atmosphere make it a worthwhile time. I found there to be a decent amount of cognitive dissonance playing as a very realistic cat but doing very humanish problem solving.
So this cat
is presented as real world. It's a very like fantastic like story and like... representation of the future.
But you're straight up just a cat.
The cat is presented as
a cat.
Real world, just a cat.
Yep.
Not like intelligent, can't talk or anything like that. And so one of the first things that you come across is you're kind of walking down this abandoned alleyway and this like old light, this old neon sign kind of flickers and the letters come up which spell out help. And so you as the player go, oh, I meant to go in this direction of the sign. But then all of a sudden you have this thing where... you're controlling this animal that is meant to just be
fully just a normal,
fully
cat.
Just an animal, but it's got it's a weird kind of disconnect between you, the player, and how this thing would actually be behaving in the real world.
And how
it's strange
because the cat reacts in cutscenes and stuff like, I'm a loyal little cat and I like my friend, just by meowing. It doesn't say anything, but it seems like a cat half the time. But then you're controlling a full-on human
because
behavior-wise.
When they do introduce that little robot, which has been in trailers and stuff, I just forgot about it, it's like the robot is translating the sort of in-world characters, which are also robots, but it's translating this language to the cat, but the cat is just a cat. But then what it's really doing is talking to you, the player.
Right.
But you as the player don't exist in the world.
The thing that...
You know?
It's weird, yeah.
Yeah.
And this isn't spoilers because it is my thought that I had early on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, well, I wonder because these robots who are inhabiting this world now are all AIs and they're all like just kind of pretending to be humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've just ended up doing that. They were programmed by humans and they're imitating behaviors of humans and they don't quite know why.
Yep.
And I was like, I wonder if it's like a human brain stuck inside a cat.
Right.
But it's not. The story's not about that.
Yeah.
So it's just a suspend your disbelief. This cat's magic.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do think
people will be yelling at their podcast apps, being like, "Why are you guys so caught up in the logic of a cat platformer?"
I'll tell you why.
A catformer.
Because the atmosphere and the story of the game, I really liked.
Yeah.
And it was a very peaceful and enjoyable. Very well presented visually story that like had some nice characters along the way, and I really liked these robots.
Me too.
Yeah,
the robots ended up being great, and the directions that they go in with that, and the fact that they're like imitating human behavior, so the human behaviors that they're doing look real weird when it's robots doing them arbitrarily, and then you're like, fuck, but we're doing them arbitrarily.
Yeah.
And so I was so into it that the same as that cognitive dissonance thing only happens with a story you like. That's why people talk about that stuff in terms of, they used the word ludonarrative dissonance when GTA 4 and stuff was good, because it was a good story that then didn't make sense for half the time because the character was acting differently.
Yeah, right. And I mean, that stuck out to me as like a funny thing. I don't think it's like a knock on the game. It hasn't like impacted my enjoyment of it, because nearly every game has something like that where like if you're lost, you the player can pause and look at a map, which just the map exists to you, the player in the game world. There's no sense that the character
is there a map?
Has a physical... No, but I just mean in general other game.
Because I was going to be like, because I got fucking lost.
I mean, you can look at you can go on GTA and like put a waypoint in a big floating arrow for you, the player, that the person in the game doesn't have access, the character in the game.
Well, that's a bad example because they do have GPS.
They have GPS. Well, if they're warped, but in any case, like those things that exist
Zelda
for
game.
The
in
player.
In GTA
that,
3.
But yeah, everything has some kind of version of that. And I think it's a more interesting creative decision to have it be a wordless stray cat with a little robot companion than just be a sort of thing we've seen a million times of a little fucking made-up mascot. Like, it's so much more interesting and creative.
It never bothered me. It's just noticeable. And whatever, the cat's fucking Toto. It's just smart.
Yeah.
It's just a smart cat.
It bothers me a little in that I didn't think it would be like every other game where it's like it does just end up being like you have a character who talks to people in the world around you and has, you know, little files and little items and maps and stuff.
Sure.
You know, or, you know, like gameplay indicators, you know.
Yeah. Like, I can see where Tolkien Taters is coming from with his...
Being on the internet
feeling
is crazy.
They're the only person who don't have a real name on Patreon.
Good for you. It's a good name.
They're feeling that it kind of dropped off for them when the robot came along.
Yep.
I can see that point. But at the same time, I really love all the writing of the little robots you see. And and the sound design is the thing that's leaping out to me about this game the most. Like they're the little kind of like their like voices that they have as they're talking. So it's like I can see where they're coming from, but also the trade-off of all that stuff that you're getting as part of it is, it just kind of makes it worthwhile to me. And you're right, it is less interesting as a creative thing to just be like, oh, all of a sudden we're in an RPG where we're just walking around talking to villagers, getting text, and like, this could be any other game. But I think it is still all presented so well that it's, I personally am kind of happy to have that trade-off.
I liked it too, because the characters, I really liked the writing of them as well. You get these little memories as you're going around. And so I went and found all of them and like did everything. It's a short game.
Yeah.
The counter said 4.5 hours at the end. And that's with getting everything. So, like, it's not long, but all the writing was just nice and not in a twee way, just in, like, a pleasant way still.
Yeah.
Like, it's everyone's dead in this world, and it's not like it's being, like, Animal Crossing or whatever. But it's just such a calm game. There's very little conflict. You're sometimes running away from, like, these little bugs. Who
They eat metal, right?
They eat metal. They're this thing that... it kind of implies it maybe came after the apocalypse that the humans caused. It was like a virus that maybe they made. There's some memories you get and stuff.
Because you can see like the little like almost Last of Us 2 like thing overgrown onto the buildings. And the lower down in the city as you like look over the edge is often like taken over by some weird sort of fungusy thing.
But there's this really sweet kind of tone to it where like the robots miss the humans.
Well, you, the cat at the very beginning, the kind of tutorial is you're on the outside. You're in this like nice outdoor area. You fall into where the game takes place. And so the robots see you and they're like, oh, if you're... we've never seen one of you before. You must be from the outside. Like it must be possible to get out there, and it gets into this stuff of like there being these kind of like cultist almost kind of people that were obsessed with getting to the outside. So yeah, I mean, I guess that's the other justification for you not just being a mascot. It kind of does have this like nice little kind of, in-game justification.
And I liked for it as it unfolded. And I did think, weirdly, the cat was the thing that I don't think the cat's that well animated. It's okay for like a video game cat, but animals are fucking hard to do in games.
When you have the camera spun around, if you're just hitting that meow button, his mouth is just, he does look like a puppet. He's not like really...
I can't say I've done that yet.
I've done that as well, yeah. But like I
did it because I watched my girlfriend play it and she doesn't play a lot of stuff. So she's not really au fait with like using the right stick for camera. So she's just like, whatever it's set on, she's just going in that direction. She's like, why the fuck can't I see? I'm like, you gotta swing it around like this. So there was a lot of like me watching her play it as if it's like a reverse Crash Bandicoot level where she's just like walking into the camera.
And I like having the meows sound good, and it's like every, but just.
I didn't like the platforming. Because it's really on track.
It's kind of not actually platforming.
It does strike me as...
It's like a platforming simulator almost.
It's, you've got... so there are surfaces you can jump to and surfaces you can't. If the surface can be jumped to, if you're looking at it, a little X will show up on it.
Yeah. You can't just jump when you're just standing stationary. So nothing happens.
An exploration game. There's not finesse or skill needed with any of it.
No.
It
is, and also you can't jump... you can't just be near something and press X to jump to it either. You have to, and I turned on the crosshair.
Right.
Because it's like you have to be looking directly at the thing you want to jump to, and then a prompt comes up for X. Right. So it's pretty, restricted in terms of how you can actually move.
I didn't find it bothersome because quite quickly I was like, oh, it's like this. And so I didn't expect more from it. And
I thought it would annoy me more than it did. But once I got into sort of the swing of it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is...
and the
this
fun in it, it's in exploring the levels that you can explore and talking to the people when you can. And then there's a few sections that are shorter that are kind of more action-y sections where you've got these little bugs and you're running away from them.
And it's got like very mild kind of puzzle stuff, but it does feel more
so mild. It's like, here's a plank, how do you get to it? Oh, the obvious way? Good for you.
Or like
Uncharted is a decent comparison because it really is like...
I think Uncharted's... I think the person did say this is a more simple version, which is fair.
But in that way of just when it's a bit where you're moving forward, you just, I guess like Tomb Raider or something. But even, less than that. It's like a walking simulator.
It does feel more like even a slightly simplified version of this still, but like something like an Inside or a Limbo or a Little Nightmares where it's not really trying to like challenge you in its gameplay. It's about it's serving you a tone and a mood and an atmosphere, and it's like it just wants you to experience that. It hasn't been designed to have you die multiple times and be scratching your head. It really does just want you to progress through it.
And in that first area, the thing is, of walking around and placing together in your head where everything is and like kind of knowing it. And by the end, it's a satisfying feeling by the time you move on from that area of going like, I figured it all out. I know where everything is. And that I liked it. And I really think that the art of it and the design of it and the sound design, I agree, is good. It is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the
robots in particular are fantastic.
It's honestly the only thing about it that is like good, like, well, great. You know, like everything else about it is there, it seems like, to serve the visuals and the sound design.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like
I would put the writing
on a
par just kind of maybe below them, but it is good.
With that thing of the writing and the character and stuff, I think, weirdly, this is more dissonant. I would have preferred to not have the robot, but still just have everyone around you like talk and you can read stuff on walls. Like just take, like leave it as you're just a cat and you're the player.
We're already taking a leap. Like just,
the player will be able to hear, like, just make them speak English.
I like their friend relationship that builds throughout the game.
Right.
And by the end, like that is good.
Mm.
But I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I like having the two characters together because it ends up having stuff to it, like Link and Navi type of thing. Like, has payoffs and whatever. But the game is all about that. There are some action-y sort of segments in it that are fine, but
the design of it is just
hard to fuck them up.
A few sections where you're walking around these parts of this like city that you're trapped in, where you've got all these robots, or you're going and meeting, and you can meow at them, and their faces light up with different expressions, and all of that is just really well done and satisfying and nice to hunt around and move around this town as a cat.
And the decisions they've made with the aesthetic of like putting in a bunch of, retro tech, but having some really interesting creative ways that a robot would look or function, or, you know, all the like LCD screens and the facial expressions through that stuff.
Yeah.
The language that they have invented and then turned into graffiti and turned into, you know, like signage and stuff looks cool.
Sounds of them sound so great. The bleeping and blooping, like just this good version of R2-D2.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic. I love that they've got different sized, different shaped little heads. So some of them have a screen for their head that's just a tiny little bit of their face.
Right.
But it's still got the facial drawing on it. Just looks so creative, all of those robots. And then that story that they're in, it unravels in a nice way, and you've got like the backstory of the world that you're in gets filled in over time, and it's all satisfying and all works, and the ending is nice, and it just
Don't go into it expecting something that you're really playing too much.
Or even a Limbo or whatever, which is a kind of equivalent
it's sort not,
of game.
It's not a puzzle platformer, is it? Like it's
Some puzzles in the town bits you're in where you have to figure out, oh, this guy needs this. Where do I get that from?
It's not challenging, but you are doing stuff. You're doing more than you're doing in a walking simulator. A walking simulator is literally just you going from A to B. You are having it. Yeah, you're exploring.
It's like being in a Zelda town a little bit, where it's those simple things where it's like, oh man, wish I had a chicken, and then someone up the road's got a chicken. But going and finding that chicken, it's beautiful lighting.
It looks amazing.
There.
Yeah. The lighting is incredible. The neon signs, you pretty regularly you're going into people's little apartments and just the design of them. There's just stuff laying around. It's like, it's so immaculately designed and presented. And like, there'll be two little robots playing, they're playing chess or something, and you can leap up onto the table and the bits fly everywhere. Yeah. They get really worked up, like just all those little details like that are just
they're done really well. And the cat part, it's not played as a humor cat, it's played as a if you like cats, this is an adorable cat.
I
like cats and I like this cat.
I didn't find it internet humory.
I can see what they were saying about, because I've kind of missed like not being on Twitter anymore is I love it, and I haven't seen those headlines that I'm sure there are of like this cat is fuzzing up.
But there are little things where like
one of the headlines. It was one of the major headlines.
When you walk near a stretch of carpet, you can press triangle to then just make biscuits. You do the and then you use the triggers to like kind of claw, and it does
so
nothing.
Many places just where you can just sleep and the camera will zoom in and it'll play some music and you're like, yeah, this is about a cat.
The music is incredible. Music so much. It's
this real like world music sort of thing. It adds to the idea of like, well, this city could be anywhere, and it could be, you know, in the future where cultures have merged and meshed a lot more. Like it sets the tone really well.
It is.
I think it's, I mean, if you have a PS, if you're still on the old tier of PS Plus, you can upgrade for it's like $3 or something, and then you'll
if
get
you've
this.
If you've only got the 1 month, but if you've got other months stacked, which is why I didn't do it, because I'd gotten them on a deal at some point.
Right,
and so it's like, oh, well, you can get the game for free if you simply give us $240.
Right.
Well, I'll pay $40.
Yeah, I pay annually, so I had 2 months left, so the game cost me $9.
Oh, right. Well, so I'm month to month, so I upgraded, and it was, $2.50 or something
and
for that month.
Sick.
I think if you are a fan of the types of, so like Inside or Little Nightmares and that sort of thing, and also of like Gone Home and like Vanishing of Ethan Carter and whatever, like the what they call
Dear
Esther
and stuff.
Yeah. If you watch the
trailer, if you like those two kinds of games, this will probably be up your alley.
And if you watch
your
trailer,
alley cat.
Oh!
If you watch the trailer and you like what it's doing, like in terms of all that presentation stuff, and you know now not to expect, because you know when this got revealed, it's like, oh, what's this game going to be? Knowing that it is more just about exploration, and it's not like a kind of a true blue platformer, then if the look and the feel of the trailer appeals to you, then
totally worth it. I spent like 5 hours ish. Playing through it and feel absolutely justified in spending that time and money on Stray.
Yeah.
I think this sums it up from Simon on Patreon. It's a game where you can sit on the couch, take in the music and graphics, and just enjoy without overthinking. Brilliant game and worth a download.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Is this the guy who also said, P.S.
Also,
I'm allergic to cats.
I'm allergic to cats.
And you know what? Me too.
Yeah.
I love cats. I'd get a cat right now.
Whoa.
I'd get the game Stray. Oh, I already got it.
For $200. All right, we're going to wrap it up there for another week. Thank you guys for joining us. Check out filthycasuals.com.au for all the other stuff we have going on. We got the videos going up very regularly on YouTube, at least one of them a week.
Giant July, Patreon stuff. Yeah, The Quarry. Go watch The Quarry.
Yeah.
We're doing that. We're
it's very fun.
Recording a few in advance because I'm going away for like a month, so we're already a bit further in than in the videos, and the game is good.
It's still great.
It's fun to watch.
Check all that out. Yeah, we got the new premium episode coming up on the Patreon, and then we got the Q&A the week after that. So yeah, get on. You can still access the stream of us playing stuff from a week ago and the Warcraft commentary. Thanks very much.
Yeah, they'll
listening.
All be there forever.
Yeah, they're all there now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
that's what you got to do to get them to come over to you. Don't meow. You go. You do the chirp. Meow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.